Steven, my mom says you're too dumb to hang out with.
Oh, no.
So we can't do a podcast together anymore.
Oh, look at me. I'm in the special group.
I have to go hang out with my smart friends.
You know what? Just because I'm in the green group doesn't mean I'm not a person.
It's true. I mean, you are a person, just a dumb one.
Do you have something, you know, that you said as a kid that, like, you think about sometimes and still feel shame about?
Oh, I mean, I'm sure I do, but I can't come up with it right now. I'm sure you know. You're probably thinking of it right now.
I've got one. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Lay it on me.
Necessarily want to share it.
No. You just asked. You had to. Now you brought it up. You have to share.
There was this kid in fifth grade.
Okay.
And we didn't really get along. And, you know, when you're in fifth grade, your smack talk skills aren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
And we were arguing about something. And he was like, oh, your dad is dumb. And then I basically responded, well, your dad is dumb, not remembering that his dad had been killed the year before in a car accident.
Ooh.
And he kind of like just went away. And I apologized later. But anytime I think about it, I still feel like a real jerk. It was an honest, honestly forgot, you know, but like in the heat of the moment, you know, I'm a terrible person.
I mean, that reminded me that in college, that was my similar, like, oops situation, whereas, like, I made a your mom joke to someone whose mom had passed away, and I was like, oh, no, I'm a terrible person. Yeah, now I never, ever make your mom or your dad or kid joke. I don't joke about any of that anymore, ever. Learned my lesson.
Yeah. So anyways, we're terrible people.
But we have a cold open with two other terrible people. We are talking about the episode The Seminar, Season 7, Episode 14, originally airing on January 27th, 2011. We have a cold open with a very special guest. And that special guest is Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
The original Office Michael.
That's right. And creator, co-creator of the British Office.
Yes.
But he's in character as David Brent, which... That raises a lot of questions about what's in-universe for Dunder Mifflin to me. Like, does Dunder Mifflin exist in a world where the British Office was on TV? That's weird. Did they not notice that the first day the camera showed up, that they were reenacting the first episode of the British Office? It's very troubling in a meta way.
Oh, that is weird. And also, if we think about it in a meta way, so David Brent is at this office building, which the address for the office building is Slough Avenue, which is the name of the town that the original British office was in.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably also was like, oh, this is interesting. Maybe that's why he's there.
Oh,
who knows?
This totally reminded me. I learned a piece of office trivia the other day. And I meant to share it. It's not related to anything we're talking about, except that we're doing office trivia, apparently. Do you remember the name of the steel company that Charles Minor had come from?
Saracois Steel or something like
Saracois
that?
Saracois Steel.
Oh, that was close. That was close.
That's the name of the street that the where they filmed the office, where that building, like where their soundstage was.
That's awesome. Wow, what a connect. Yeah, that didn't even come up in that episode. Where'd you learn this trivia?
I just learned it. I think I came across it actually on I just looked up Charles Minor, and there's a LinkedIn Charles Minor regional manager, Saracois Steel.
Why are you looking up Charles Minor?
He's so handsome.
I mean, he is so handsome. You know? Every once in a while, we all have to just Google some Charles Minor.
That's right.
So, yeah, after we have the cold open with Michael Scott meeting David Brent.
David Brent, my liege. How are you?
Michael Scott!
Oh, bloody hell.
They do some extremely racist impressions, but they pass it off as comedy. And I love the part where David Brent says, that's what she said. And Michael just, like, looks at him and hugs him. Like, I totally get you, man.
Comedy is a place where the mind goes to tickle itself. That's what she said.
Oh, man. That's good.
Oh. David Brent then asked for a job. He's like, oh, we're not hiring right now. But I think this is like a little foreshadowing of Michael's job becoming open later this season.
That's a good point. You would think that they would put this kind of meeting in a few episodes down the road. That would have felt a little bit more in line with the rest of the episodes.
So, in fact, I actually skipped several episodes in my mind because the episode next week is The Search.
I love that episode.
I do, too. And I thought, oh, it's when they're looking for a new Michael, but it's not. It's when Michael gets lost. And we'll talk about that next time. So, in my mind, this cold open was in the right quote-unquote episode. But anyways, it's very funny. It's very meta. It just is like the show taking a big old wink at the camera, and I think it's kind of fun, even if it is troubling on a meta level.
Doesn't Ricky Gervais come back for The Search for the new manager a few episodes away? I think he might. Let's pay attention to that. We're only a few episodes down from that. We're not very far. It's within this season, so we will get there, but let's keep that in mind.
Okay.
The main part of this episode, though, is all about Andy being at the very bottom of the sales numbers. And so he has this brilliant idea that he's going to hold a seminar in order to get more sales.
Last year, I went to a seminar called The 10 Secrets of Real Estate. Turns out it was just a ploy to sell me timeshares in Idaho.
So he's trying to do the same thing, but for paper sales. And so that's where we are for the majority of this episode.
Yes. So Andy's going to host this seminar, which is really just a cover to sell what he's calling the small business package, which I guess is like office supplies and stuff that you would need to, you know, open your own space. And he has tapped Dwight, Stanley, and Phyllis, and Jim to help him out. So to come in and speak and to entertain and to teach. And then Andy's going to come in at the end and say, hey, all this is great. Let's get your business started. And here's some stuff that you need to do that from Dunder Mifflin Saber.
I mean, it's not a terrible idea. And it seems well planned, too. They have all the posters ready. They have everyone's pictures on the posters. He's like ready to go. But as people start filing in for the seminar, we start to see everyone slowly bail out on Andy.
Yeah.
And so the first one to go is Jim, because he notices that one of the participants, the attendees in this little small business conference, happens to be someone that he knows from his past.
That's right. We learn more about that, but it's a childhood friend, and Jim avoids him. We see Jim doing various things. At one point, he's like kicking a rock in the parking lot. We also get Sports Jim, where he's on the phone. You know, like those like sports radio shows where you can like call in and talk to the host about your favorite team. He's like on the car making good points about sports. So we get a little Sports Jim.
Yeah, I totally noticed that too. I wrote down Sports Jim. I'm like on the lookout for Sports Jim now so much in all of these episodes, because it does keep showing up. Like, I never noticed these breadcrumb trails of Sports Jim before until we first started seeing it like a few episodes ago. And now I can't stop. I can't stop finding Sports Jim.
I know. I used to think like when I first watched the series that Jim's pivot into the sports world felt a little out of the blue, but I think I was wrong about that. Watching it now, they're building up to it a long time in advance.
I guess we should just close out what Jim's problem is, because he eventually reveals to Pam that the person that showed up to Andy's seminar ends up being from his childhood. And he had a moment very similar to what Stephen and I were talking about in the open of this podcast, where he had said something to this friend and it kind of ended their friendship.
Here's the story. That guy in there is Jim's childhood friend, Tom.
Tom Watoshkin. One of my best buddies, actually.
And when they were both in the third grade, Jim was placed in the top reading group.
It was blue group, so it was second from the top.
And Tom
was in green group.
And Jim's mom suggested that Jim spend time hanging with the kids in his reading group, because she thought that they would be a good influence.
And that's what I told him.
Right. But how'd you say it?
My mom thinks you're too dumb to hang out with.
Not the kindest way to do it.
So even though that was a harsh thing to say, they were, what age were they? They were saying fifth grade?
Third grade.
That's so young. Third grade?
Yeah.
Man, that's even younger. Third grade, that's my kid's age. So 9 years old. Really? You're going to hold a grudge from a 9-year-old? Because later on, when Jim accidentally runs into this guy in the kitchen, in the break room, the friend totally remembers. Jim tries to like pretend like he doesn't notice him. They notice each other. There's like this awkward moment. And the friend just keeps on bringing up this. I shouldn't even say friend. The ex-friend, the dumb friend. He keeps bringing up all of the stuff that Jim had said to him. And I was like, wow. Talk about holding a grudge for a really long time.
Hey. How's it going?
Pretty good. Good.
It's been a while.
Has been. Yeah.
So you work here, huh?
Sales.
Must be a front for some kind of famous laboratory. Because you're so smart.
Oh, man. You remember that, huh?
Oh, barely. I'm so dumb. Stuff goes in, stuff goes out. Not like you probably remember every paper sale you ever made. Paper salesman genius.
All right, good catch up.
Yeah.
See ya.
Where's your jetpack, Zuckerberg?
I mean, these guys are like in their 30s. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I don't think, I would joke about it with someone if like that's what they told me, you know, when I was a kid and be like, yeah, that's funny, but how you doing? Right? Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't be a jerk about it. This guy is a jerk.
He is a jerk about it. Dwight, Stanley, and Phyllis bail, not because of childhood trauma, but because it's pretty clear that the people in this meeting, at least the ones that we learn about early on, they're not serious contenders.
You promised us whales. These are worms.
They're not worms, Dwight. Okay? They're just people with tiny businesses. They're baby whales, which is even cuter.
I'm out.
Stanley, you're supposed to close.
I'm out too.
What? I already lost Jim. Salesmen are supposed to help each other out. We're supposed to be a team.
We're no more a team than the people staying in the same hotel are a team.
And so Andy's left without a crew, and so he goes to Kevin and Ryan, who are both pretty hesitant at first. And particularly Kevin is like, I'm no Jim.
The only way that I'm Jim is in the movie version, when Jim sees what his future would be like if he never met Pam.
Pretty harsh, but Andy kind of builds him up. And then Ryan doesn't really want to do it. But Creed, however, is very excited to be a part of this.
Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3,
go! Creed!
Ah! Yeah, I like the whole Andy kind of recruiting the B team. Or maybe even they're the D team, really, if you think about it. But yeah, he's recruiting everybody else, like anyone else to help. Because at the point that everyone bails on him, there are people in the room waiting for this seminar to start. So he has to do something. And he gets everyone else on board to help him. But I mean, for most of the episode, they don't really help at all. I mean, Kevin comes in and he starts to run around the room to, I believe it's Crazy Train.
Please give a big hand to Mr. Kevin Malone.
And he exhausts himself so much from just like a jogging intro, because Crazy Train's intro is so long. It's so long that he exhausts himself. He ends up throwing up. He's trying to do his little speech about motivation and keeping going.
The first lesson that I'm going to teach you, right, is about finding success. And the key to finding success is to picture a winner.
And it just fails miserably. Ryan doesn't even show up. Kelly shows up instead. And she actually has a pretty great presentation. I mean, I'm really kind of sad that Andy didn't think to ask Kelly in the first place.
She, Kelly, Kelly's big on branding this.
I mean, Kelly uses what she has.
That's right. And what she has is the phone number of a professor at Yale that either they were involved or the professor was into her. It's hard to work out what. And he picks up the phone thinking it's a very different phone call than it is. Like in a sort of creepy way.
I wouldn't say creepy. It's more of a seductive way.
Okay.
It's ringing.
Hey, Kelly Kapoor. What a delicious surprise.
Professor Powell, you are on speakerphone.
Why?
It seemed like she wasn't put off by it, but she certainly is using his affections in order to display some sort of business prowess here at this seminar. So she does convince him to kind of list off various tips and tricks for businesses, and everyone seems to be pretty into it because they all get out their pencils and they're taking notes, and Andy's very impressed. And as you were saying, that Kelly has a particular branding for her schemes.
Who am I? I'm Kelly Kapoor, the business bitch. It is important to brand yourself, so I have a couple things in the works. The business bitch, the diet bitch, the shopping bitch, the etiquette bitch.
Yeah, this is maybe the best business advice these people get all day, is this couple of lines from this guy on the phone.
I think so, because the closing act is Creed.
Our special guest speaker will provoke you. He will inspire you. He is Creed Bratton.
As we know, Creed comes out of left field all the time. It's mostly why we absolutely love Creed. And he starts his part of the presentation listing body parts.
Yeah.
Two eyes, two ears, a chin, a mouth, 10 fingers, two nipples, a butt, two kneecaps, a penis.
Which he then attributes to the Loch Ness Monster.
That's right.
And connects that to a scheme of finding the Loch Ness Monster and making millions from that.
You think this is why he's trying to scuba?
Oh, I like this. I like the dots you're connecting, Stephen. I do. You're weaving these Tweety Creed threads together.
It's going sideways on Andy. And I think he is realizing as this goes on that the team he has put together is not going to get him where he wants.
Yeah, he's really struggling. He's absolutely struggling. And the thing that actually bails him out is Michael, it seems like. Don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. So Michael is the plant. So he is the person in the seminar who is going to start the response to the sales call at the end of the seminar. He is playing a Greek character.
Hello, I'm here for the small business seminar.
Michael.
Nein, I'm Greek. My name is Mikano.
Ooh.
Although, as Holly points out, it's maybe a little more Italian than Greek. And this is kind of how we see Michael and Holly connect, really, for the first time since she's broken up with AJ.
Yeah, we find out in the beginning of the episode that Michael does know that Holly has broken up with AJ. And I really like this confessional he has with the camera when he's discussing this, because he brings up a very intimate detail from Holly's past.
And I know for a fact that there was a week for her in high school when she got mono and her first period ever. Too much information? That's what I thought. But you know what? Here I am using it.
And regardless of the specifics of that detail, it's kind of really sweet that he like remembered this story that she obviously told him when they were first going out the first time that she was there in the office. And he remembers like important details about her past. And I think that that's just so sweet and caring. And like, that's the thing that like your partner would know. And I really like that moment that they throw in there, that the care that Michael has. And so he is aware of everything. He is trying to get Holly to like open up a little bit by engaging her with this Greek character and kind of asking her to go along with it. And at first she resists, then he starts wearing her down and she can't help herself but to join in the fun as they practice in front of Hank their new accents.
Who just isn't having it at all.
Hello.
Look, you want to order something?
She will have a Greekachina.
I don't know what that is.
It's a very strong coffee with milk from a goat.
But I love that they have a little bit of fun together. I love that Michael and Holly are finding this connection again. And I think that it takes her mind off of AJ for the afternoon, which is a really good positive thing.
Yeah, Michael does push it a little bit with Holly, though, at the end, after the seminars ended, talking about how what a good day it was. But then he, in character, says that Holly's the love of his life, and he goes in for a kiss, but then she breaks character and says she has to go back to work and leaves.
You are the love of my life. Come to me, Necropolis. Put your lips on my lips. Come on.
Michael, I should go back to work.
Well, come on! It's time for grapes!
I think Holly's conflicted. At some point, we see her tell the camera like she doesn't really know what she's doing with Michael that day.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're still a little mismatched in speed.
I kind of can't really blame him in this situation because he is putting his heart on his sleeve. Like, he is letting her know. I mean, I don't think this is his intention, but through kind of like a means to the end, he ends up letting her know exactly how he feels. So she has absolutely no doubt, whereas she just ended a relationship with someone whom she wasn't getting strong feelings from. But Michael is there like, hey, I'm here. I'm waiting for you to be ready, but I'm here and I still feel this way and it's still super obvious. And so, like, I really like at the end where he says it was a good day, and that makes me think back to when Jim and Pam were first starting to connect up together, and when Jim said that it was a good day that he spent with Pam when they were like goofing off and doing something silly. It's kind of the same vibe.
Oh, I didn't pick that up, but yeah, you're absolutely right. There's echoes of that for sure.
A fun day.
So in addition to breaking through to Holly a little bit in this episode, even though he does go too far in the end, Michael, as Mykonos, with Holly, they are the plants in Andy's seminar, and they go into the seminar and kind of ask some leading questions and help Andy really close on this sale. And it's through Michael's advice where he pulls Andy out of the room when Andy starts really starting to tank the seminar completely. He's just going too far. And this is, again, where we see that great, like, management teacher Michael showing Andy that, like, nope, you have to pull back. You have to, this is how you're going to close. You're just going to go in there. He gives him this great little pep talk.
All right, you have to close right now.
Yeah, I'm getting to it.
No, you're not. You're getting past it. You have to close. Do it. You can do it.
Yeah.
Andy, what's the problem?
It's hard for me. I'm a nice guy.
You know, Kelly and Creed, Kevin, they believe in you. Don't let them down. Don't let yourself down.
And he sends him in there, and Andy ends up making a few sales, even though the getting the ball rolling on the sales were thanks to Michael and Holly.
Yeah, I like this because Michael talks to Andy and the rest of the sales team can hear, because he just pulls him out of the conference room, but that's basically just standing in the bullpen. And I think especially Dwight, who congratulates Andy at the end of this, I think it does make an impact on Dwight that Michael is trying to help Andy, and that maybe Andy isn't this sort of helpless case that he thought he was.
I didn't think you had it in you.
Well, I guess when you looked in me, you forgot about my balls. They're on the outside. Don't know how you missed them.
I like that there are people in the office who are rooting for Andy. There is a scene kind of in the middle where the A team that Andy had recruited in the first place were trying to get back into the meeting in order to make some sales when they find out that one of the attendees actually had a pretty good small business idea. And Daryl kind of calls Andy over and lets him know that, you know, the other salespeople, they are being jackals and they're trying to get in on Andy's success, and that he should just go in and close it himself.
They left you in the lurch. And if they want to jump in, it means you're almost there. You did this. Bring it home.
I like that we see Andy get a bit of a win here. As we've discussed before, with older Andy or past Andy, he keeps getting beaten down over and over again. And just like Michael, when we've seen him have a win every now and then, now we're seeing Andy have a little bit of a win. It's not changing his personality completely. It's not changing his abilities completely, but he is getting this little win.
Yeah, which is good. And we've talked so much about Andy's emotional trip the last, you know, season and a half, two seasons. And there's even a little bit of at the beginning of this where he says, you know, going to that timeshare alone was really depressing. And it's another opportunity for Andy to have a little bit of a victory. That he makes a couple sales out of the seminar. It's not an overwhelming success, but it's not nothing, and that's good for Andy.
So who's gonna buy one right now?
I'll take one.
Yes, awesome. All right. Anyone else? Sold. Anybody else? Yes. All right. Yeah, good choice.
As we get to the end and talk about Aaron, Andy gets a second win in this episode as well. He gets a personal and a professional win. And so I think we leave this episode with Andy in a pretty good place.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about Aaron, because she is kind of the B plot here. It's Aaron and Gabe. They're playing Scrabble together. And Pam overhears Aaron losing to Scrabble, and she was asking what she was doing. And Mr. Well, actually, Oscar also overhears. So the three of them end up versing Gabe in Scrabble. And the stakes are pretty low, but I think it's significant.
Yeah, so Gabe has been using this as a way for deciding who gets to pick a movie at night. Gabe likes horror movies. Aaron does not. And Gabe is much better at Scrabble than she is. So they've been watching a lot of movies that Aaron is not into.
So far, I've seen The Shining, Rosemary's Baby, The Ring. Not really my thing. Although, I do like the early parts of the movies where they have a perfect family and everything.
It's a fun little couple game to play. Like, ooh, let's play Scrabble for who picks the movie. That's fun. But it's so mismatched. And I think Gabe's really taking advantage of that. And this puts, like, Gabe in a bad light for me.
Oh, it does. I mean, Gabe is, I imagine he's very heavy-handed in the relationship, right? There's that comment from Aaron that she wouldn't be dating him if he wasn't the boss. And I would imagine he is, he's just like the kind of person that has very specific rules for her when they're at his apartment. And he just seems very overbearing.
I wonder if that's because he has no control over his own life, like his professional life.
Oh,
yeah. He has no control. So he's controlling with Aaron.
Maybe. Who knows what goes on in that tall brain of his. But Pam discovers that they're playing this game, and then Oscar overhears it. And Oscar kind of takes over, as you would imagine Oscar doing. But they end up doing very well at this game. And we learn that Aaron wants to win so they can watch WALL-E. And Gabe doesn't really understand how she's winning. But at the very end, Pam suggests that Aaron should put the last word in herself.
Although I must say, I will have apoplexy if you lose. Do you understand? Apoplexy is what I will have.
Apoplexy.
Yes.
We've seen Aaron's strategy already. Aaron's strategy earlier in the game is use all cow-related words. and she plays ape as her last word and then loses in the last round.
Of course, Oscar is just absolutely crushed because Oscar's not playing this game for Aaron. He's playing it for himself very much, as we see. But yeah, Aaron loses the game. Gabe still picks the movie, but Gabe's trying to, I guess, compromise with Aaron in having like this killer robot movie, because it's like, oh, it's your interest and my interest together. You wanted to watch WALL-E, but I wanted to watch a horror movie. So let's watch a horror movie about a killer robot. That's the same.
Yeah. Come on, Gabe.
And Andy's win here, as you were mentioning, he brings over Shrek 2 and offers to lend it to Aaron because he thought that she would like it. And turns out she absolutely does. She didn't even know that Shrek 2 was a thing. And so she's so thrilled about this movie. And it's just kind of one of those little nods to, it looks like that Andy's tastes and personality are a lot more conducive to fitting with Aaron.
Yeah, she's really excited about that movie.
So that's where it ends. This is I like this episode. I don't love this episode, but I'm happy that it's there. It bridges some nice gaps. And I think that if we jumped too quickly into, you know, Michael and Holly getting back, it would have felt too fast.
Oh, I totally agree. This is not my favorite episode by any stretch, but it's very clearly an important one to move the ball forward. I think also with Aaron and Andy, just like a little touch point with where they are is good too.
And there are a lot of like little things in this episode that I vividly remember from all of my watch throughs. So there are like some funny lines and little bits here and there that are super memorable. So that brings us to the end, and you can come back next week and join us for when we talk about episode 15, The Search, which is a much better episode. So definitely get back here for that. And thank you for listening, and be sure to go and follow us over at tall_beats on Twitter, or you can find us individually at ISMH and at Tiff Arment. You can subscribe to become a member of The Incomparable and get fun goodies at the end of the year, access to our members only bonus feed, not only for our show, but all the other shows on the network. And you can join us in our conference room, the members only Slack. So be sure to go over to Apple Podcasts and rate, star, review us, maybe an Overcast too. Nepotism. Anyway. So yeah, we'll be back next week searching for something.
I'm going to go do some reading so your mom says we can hang out again.
The rest of you are dead to me. You made the stupidest decisions of your life.
No, no, no.
But it was a pleasure meeting you, and you've got my information, so feel free to call anytime.